You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Mach, and Calvin Mutinoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call. You can text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We do have a busy, busy show today. Dan Schaefer won't be with us. Civic Media's political editor and the creator of the Recombobulation Area. He's taking a little time off. He'll be back next Friday. But we have Casey Hicks, who is with Wisconsin Conservation Voters. Casey going to be joining us at the bottom of the hour after the 9:30 news to talk about the gutting of the EPA, which the Trump administration just did, and what that's going to mean for us when we turn on our tap water and go outside and, I don't know, try to go kayaking. Lots of things.
Yeah, it's not good.
No, it's not good. And then in hour number two, State Representative Janet Jacobson will be here to talk about a meeting she recently attended with Darren Von Bruden, who we spoke with on Wednesday, the president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union. And tariffs are having an effect on our farmers, and the raids on ICE raids are affecting our Wisconsin farmers, which shouldn't really be a surprise.
She's also going to speak about an event she had this week because she has announced her bid for state senate for next year's election. That's election news is starting to ramp up.
Yep.
Back to school, back to election. So we'll be talking to Representative Jacobson in the second hour, and that'll be a very good conversation. I'd love to hear her take on the tariffs and
what they're hearing. I'm curious what they're hearing when they go out and actually get on the ground and talk to folks. Last half hour of the show, we will lighten things up, as we always do, with Audio Sorbet. Today, it's an extra special Audio Sorbet. It's Audio Sorbet with a side of deep fried gripe.
On a stick.
Deep fried gripes on a stick. Audio Sorbet coming up at 10:30. And then we'll wrap up the show, as we always do, with this shouldn't be a thing. Today it is the Beware Flying Fish edition. Stay tuned for that, as always. And if you ever want to contact the show for any reason, you can contact us. Send us an email at janesays, J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S, janesays@civicmedia.us. Whether it's this shouldn't be a thing that you find, if it's a guest, if there is some fundraiser going on in your community, no matter where you are across the state, Civic Media, we have stations all over the place, Oshkosh, Hayward, Park Falls, Eau Claire, you name it. So contact us, reach out at janesays@civicmedia.us. Going to start off, though, with tariff news close to home. This is from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Sophia Joseph has the byline, Glendale's Waco group facing challenges amid Trump tariffs. One response is higher shoe prices. And we've talked about this.
Yes. Yeah.
And because he's been changing his mind and deadlines, it seems like every other day on these tariffs, some of the effects have been delayed a little bit, I would say. But wasn't it last night or the night before that the latest round of tariffs kicked in, including 50% tariffs against Brazil? So if you drink coffee, it's coming.
I will be interested. There is a certain coffee company that is very pro the president, saying we will not raise the price on our coffee 1 cent. These will not affect us the way you think. I would like to see where they're at with regard. I want to check that out because, you know, bolstering and bloviating aside, you need to run your business. You need to make sure you make a profit.
You have to make a profit.
That's what running a business is all about.
Capitalism.
And you can say you're not going to do this. You can say you're not going to raise prices, but you might have to, and that's a tough pill to swallow. And that is an example, though, of how it affects everyone. It's not just, these aren't tariffs against the left. These aren't tariffs that are going to destroy China, Brazil, England, India, the EU, all these countries, all these organizations. It's going to hit us the hardest. Me and you, the folks who work for a living, the folks who've saved and done what they're supposed to do in life, these prices are hitting us.
Well, and again, because ultimately We are the ones who pay the tariffs.
Yes.
Despite Donald Trump and his sycophants traveling all over the country and saying, no. We don't. Americans don't pay the tariffs. American companies don't pay the tariffs. That's not how it works. Yes, that actually is how it works. And it's only taken this long for us finally to get an answer from Scott Bessent, who is our Treasury Secretary, correct?
Yes, I believe so.
I believe so. He was on MSNBC recently asked about who pays the tariffs. Calvin, let's play this clip, please, from Scott Bessent.
Or it comes from any country with a tariff. Who writes the check to the Treasury?
Well, the check is written to the person who receives it at the dock in the U.S.
Important. Mm-hmm.
The check is written by the person who receives it at the dock. So tariff is paid in this country by the importer. Is that right?
But the Brazilian exporter could decide that they want to keep market share. They could lower their price so that the full 50% of the tariff,
they could eat part of the cost.
Or not.
Which is what we've seen.
Okay. But the check is written by the importer, right, at the dock.
Yeah. And then, you know, the importer can pass it on or not.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Bessent. Took you a long time to get to, yes, American importers pay the cost of the tariffs, and then the importer decides whether or not they're going to eat their increased cost or if they're going to pass it on to the consumer.
And there's two things there I'd like to know. Well, one thing I'd like to know from Mr. Bessent, Secretary Bessent, my apologies,
sure.
Secretary Bessent,
sure.
Please give us exact examples of the things, quote, that you're hearing and you've seen regarding these exporters who are cutting their prices to eat the cost to make sure that the tariffs don't affect us, the Americans, who I know they care about so much.
Well, what I think what he's implying is that they might do this to protect their own market share because they don't want American companies looking for other suppliers other than them.
Mm-hmm.
So they might lower their prices in order to keep their market here in the U.S.
Again, fine. Oh, fine. Show me those examples. I want, because that phrase of is what we've seen is nothing to me. It means nothing to me. And I'll give a really clear cut example that everyone can follow. Ford Motor Company. We all know them. We all know them.
We do.
They are one of the greatest American companies in our nation's history. They paid $800 million in tariff costs in the second quarter alone of this year. They took their first quarter loss ever since 2023. And yes, they did raise their prices. They didn't keep the prices on the car the way they were. The exporters who Ford bought their steel, aluminum, and they did not lower their prices as well. That cost was sent on to us, the American people, to pay more for the cars.
Yep.
And if they took a quarter loss, that means that people probably weren't buying new cars or as many as usual. So that is just a great A to B to C example to me. And it's very easy, and you can tell your friends, Ford Motor Company, we all know who they are, paid nearly $1 billion in tariffs in one quarter, not 5 years, one quarter because of the tariffs.
We are talking tariffs, and Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent admitting this week that, oh my goodness, surprise, surprise, it's U.S. importers that have to write the check when the goods come here, and then it's up to the importer whether or not they will eat the cost of those tariffs or pass them on to us.
If there are any artist animators out there, can you create a new chapter of Schoolhouse Rock on tariffs?
That would be
what
great.
What they are and how they are created and what the process is. I would just love to see a little piece of paper that just says tariff check. Just walking around, I'm Terry the tariff check. Gonna pay the bills. Your price is going up because we're going over the hill of...
There,
yeah. That's it. That's all I got.
Well, we'll work.
Totally.
We need to workshop that.
Copyright, Jay Montanier.
The newest round of tariffs took effect at midnight on Thursday, lifting the average U.S. tariff rate to its highest level since the Great Depression. Just going to say that again.
Yeah.
The newest round of tariffs kicked in at midnight on Thursday, lifting the average U.S. tariff rate to its highest level since the Great Depression. Justin Wolfers, professor of public policy and economics at the University of Michigan, says you're going to start seeing higher prices as soon as businesses become convinced this is sticking around. And that clock starts today. Higher tariffs, which businesses, not countries, pay to the federal government, are as high as 50% for Brazil and India because Trump is sticking his nose into Brazilian politics where it doesn't belong. Just 15% for the European Union and Japan.
I'd also like if someone could explain to me, and maybe this is a case for Rick Reed, our economy guy from Fox Valley Technical College, to come back on to talk about. But one of the big things that is the impetus for these tariffs is the claim that the rest of the world is robbing us.
Right.
They're stealing from us.
Right.
They're bilking us. They're taking all of our dough, Jane.
Right.
And I'd really like to know, what is the truth? What is the lie? What is the exaggeration? If that is true, if that matter is true, how would a normal functioning administration look to take care of that by saying, we're going to slowly raise our tariff costs over time because we feel like we're getting the short end of the stick. So here is a, wait for it, long-range plan to take care of the situation and make sure, A, American people are taken care of, and B, we're not burning the bridges of all of our relationships with all of these countries and exporters. That's what I would – that's a very long question, but I just would like to know the truth to that that kicks off this topic of why we're doing this, why it's so extreme. It's because the rest of the world is robbing us blind.
Well, and I've seen other economists explain this. You know, Donald Trump says, well, we have a trade deficit with this country, which ultimately means they're ripping us off. And I've seen economists explain it. If I look at that, like with my credit card, I have a deficit with my credit card. Does that mean they're ripping me off? Because I buy things on my credit card? No, it means I bought something and I put it on my credit card.
Yeah. And also, that's like I said, maybe I'll talk to Mr. Reed about that and see if he wants to come on the show. If not, we can talk to somebody else. Maybe it's a full day of conversation, him and James Vanderloo from the OEC group. But it's just a matter of, I would like to know more about that part of it because people seem to raise the flag on that portion of the conversation.
That the whole, we're getting ripped off
by the world. Yeah. I understand why that could be your battle cry. But once again, if it is based in lies or if it's a kernel of truth surrounded by a bunch of misinformation.
But granted, even if that premise is accurate, that we're getting ripped off, we're still punishing the American consumer through these tariffs because we're the ones who have to pay it.
Yeah.
All right. When we return, all that pesky Constitution, you know, with all its roots, let's just burn the Constitution, shall we? Stay close. And we've got the word.
Oh, yes.
It's Free Ticket Friday.
Yes.
We'll give that to you next. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Don't go away.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach. Resident young person Calvin on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. It is Free Ticket Friday, my friends.
Oh, boy.
We got a hot pack of four pack of tickets.
Oh, boy.
A hot four-pack of tickets to the Milwaukee Brewers.
We got a pack of hot-pack tickets.
They're really hot. we have a four-pack of club-level tickets to see the Brewers host the Pirates. This game is for next Wednesday.
Correct.
So please make sure you're able to go. The game is next Wednesday. Here is the word. Grab your phone.
Oh, boy.
Open up the Civic Media app and text in the word pitch. P-I-T-C-H. Pitch, P-I-T-C-H. All my haters, this is your chance to have a little fun, but spelling does count. Free ticket Friday, the word to text in by 11 o'clock is pitch, P-I-T-C-H. Text in that word by 11 o'clock and you are in the running for that four-pack of Milwaukee Brewers tickets, club-level seats for next Wednesday when they host the Pirates at AmFam Field. The word to text in is pitch, P-I-T-C-H. C-H, just like Mary in Milwaukee and Don and Waukesha and Judy and East Troy. I love seeing them come in. Penny and McFarland and Connie and so many more. Good luck. Keep texting in the word pitch, P-I-T-C-H. That is our keyword today for Matt Nair on Air. After we wrap up the show at 11 o'clock, Tom Hartman will have another word for you from 11 to 2, and then join Todd Alba 2 to 4 with a new word, and Maggie Dawn from 4 to 6, free ticket Friday. The word right now to text in via the Civic Media app only. And if you don't have it yet, it's super easy. Download it now. It's completely free.
Yeah.
Text in the word pitch, P-I-T-C-H.
Spelling counts.
Spelling does count. Yeah. Oh, heck, let's just burn the Constitution, shall we?
I got a fire right behind me here. Why not?
Yep. Trump's plan, this from Wisconsin Public Radio, Rich Creamer with the byline, Trump's plan to exclude non-citizens from the census could affect Wisconsin representation and federal funding. UW-Madison expert says Trump's proposal appears at odds, with the U.S. Constitution. The Constitution requires that we do a census every 10 years.
Yes.
And every person, not citizen, every person is required to be counted in order to determine who's going to, how much representation they get.
Yes.
And now, Donald Trump, we just did the census a few years ago. Now he wants to do it again before the midterms. They want a new census before 2026 because they are so confident in how good their policies are. Just like trying to fix the gerrymandering seats in Texas. If they were so confident that their policies are so popular, they wouldn't be going jumping through all these hoops to change things to make sure they can lock up power before people have a chance to voice their opinions.
But this goes back, Jane, to the matter of long range planning, to just having a plan. The census takes about 1 year to do completely, from administration to taking the information to putting it all together and publishing the results. About 1 year. It is August of 2025. If they started it today, they still couldn't do anything because you still have to institute all of those changes over time. Like, there's a reason why it happens every 10 years.
Right.
It doesn't happen. You can't just be like, hey, we're going to do the census. When? Next week. Wait. What?
Yeah, it doesn't work like that. And reports that I heard yesterday also talked about they've already gutted part of the Census Bureau. They fired a whole bunch of people from the Census Bureau. So they're already short-staffed. And now you're going to drop this on them, which, again, this only happens every 10 years in the Constitution, where it says you have to count everyone, not just citizens.
Yeah.
And reports I was hearing yesterday, again, talking about not thinking things through thoroughly.
Yeah.
It's not just California that has a lot, a large number of illegal
undocumented
people.
Yes.
Texas has a huge population. So does Florida.
Yeah.
There are a bunch of red states that could also be affected by this. But again, I don't know that they're thinking that all the way through to the end.
Don't worry, Jane. They're just going to redistrict until they get rid of that problem completely. Just before we get out of here, I just want to read some information that I don't know if this is a squirrel or not, just because of the overwhelming amount of work. But the census starts planning for the next census almost a decade in advance.
It's a very long, complicated process.
The formal counting takes about 2 months. Then they have to do another 3 months of follow-up. Then they have to process the data. It takes a long time. They couldn't officially start doing a census until maybe, if they worked 24 hours around the clock, I bet you no sooner than the holidays to early next year. And then they're still up a creek. So this notion that this is, one, it's absolutely against the Constitution.
Yes.
Period.
Yes.
And I'm tired of people saying we can do this. It's fine. Then don't tell me you care about the Constitution. Just take out the Second Amendment, and that's what you get from now on. But this is crazy pants. This is ridiculous. And as you said, this will backfire hard.
But thinking things, you know, long term, let's A and B and C and oh, well, yeah. Coming up, we have news on the way. And then do you care about what comes out of your tap when you drink your water? Do you care about your kids when you send them outside to play? Let's just gut the EPA. That's coming up. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. We are the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Sweet Calby coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Also, Free Ticket Fridays is underway, so grab your phone, open up the Civic Media app, and text in the word PITCH, P-I-T-C-H, spelling counts. Text in the word PITCH, P-I-T-C-H, and you are in the running for a four-pack of Milwaukee Brewers tickets, club-level seats, to see the game next Wednesday when the Brewers host the Pirates at AmFam Field. So text in the word, you have until 11 o'clock to text in the word PITCH, P-I-T-C-H, and you are in the running. Tom Hartman will have a new word for you from 11 to 2. The same with Todd Alba, 2 to 4, and then Maggie Dawn from 4 to 6. But the word right now is PITCH. Text that in via the Civic Media app, just like Kimberly and Wauwatosa and John and Madison and Brenda and Madison and Art and Roy and Madison and Maureen and hey, Nina, and just makes me happy.
Madison.
Yeah, hello, Madison. Listening on WMDX. Right now, though, we are going to talk about the recent news about the Environmental Protection Agency. Seems important. Our guest is with Wisconsin Conservation Voters. Very excited to have Casey Hicks joining us. Good morning, Casey. How are you?
Morning. I'm good. How are you?
Wonderful.
Thank you for having me, by the way.
Absolutely. Casey, for folks who are not familiar with Wisconsin Conservation Voters, can you tell us a little bit about your group?
Sure. We've been around for about over 20 years at this point. We have 40,000 members across the state, and our mission is to engage voters to protect Wisconsin's environment. To keep it short and simple, we try to elect people who are going to do exactly that, protect our environment, and then work to hold them accountable once they're actually in office to pass good, sound environmental policy and to hold them accountable to stop bad environmental policy.
And something we talk about, Casey, on this show a lot, with whether it's between the two of us or with our guests, is that Wisconsin is Wisconsin. We have a long tradition of having a deep love for conservation, for our environment, for our beautiful. We just went to the Northwoods a couple weeks ago, and all I want to do is protect that area. And it seems incumbent and common sense that we would want to preserve that lovely landscape, the good air, the good water here in Wisconsin. And I imagine politicians would want to do the same.
Yeah, it, I would imagine so. Unfortunately, it seems that when push comes to shove, that's not always the case. But you're exactly right. We do have a really long history and tradition of conservation and being outdoors in Wisconsin. I think people most often think of Gaylord Nelson and the legacy that he left. And
yes,
that being really a great symbol of Wisconsin's leadership on conservation. But it goes way back before that. And I think it's just in our DNA when it comes to people going out hunting, fishing, hiking, camping, just generally getting outside all times of the year. And we definitely experience every single season here in Wisconsin.
We talk a lot, Casey, about there are so many divisions and there are so many political divisions, that things that people don't agree upon. But I do think a majority of Wisconsinites are very, very much conservationists and conservation minded. I think there are some outliers, but I would like to think that this is one thing upon which we can agree. And now we have the news that the Trump administration has shut down the Environmental Protection Agency's scientific arm, the EPA Office of Research and Development. Hundreds of chemists, biologists, toxicologists, and other scientists are going to lose their jobs under the administration's plan to defund the EPA. Were you surprised when this news came out this week?
Unfortunately, no. Not surprised given what's been happening with the second Trump administration. And it comes at a particularly concerning time when EPA just announced that they're going through the rulemaking process to rescind the endangerment finding, which is the legal underpinning to essentially every rule regulation that EPA has to protect us from greenhouse gas emissions. So it is very worrying, but unfortunately unsurprising.
What can people do who are listening? I think there's a lot of frustration out there, and we're all looking for action plans, something to do. What do you suggest, Casey?
Yeah, well, let me back up just a little bit. There is something for folks to do, but I think for them to actually carry out and make their voice heard, want to make sure that they understand exactly what's happening. So I mentioned the endangerment finding. It came out of a Supreme Court ruling from 2007 that said EPA has the obligation and the requirement to regulate greenhouse gases if they have an impact on people's health and the environment. So the EPA went to their research, they looked at the science, and they found that greenhouse gases, in fact, do affect the environment and affect people's health. So that led to the 2009 endangerment finding. EPA is allowed to make endangerment findings after doing research to see what types of pollutants may be affecting people. And they found that carbon dioxide, methane, and a mix of other greenhouse gases do in fact have an effect on our health, which I think to us is unsurprising. And since then, when they came out with the 2009 endangerment finding, I mentioned that's been the legal underpinning for all these other different rules and regulations that protect our health. So right now, not only are they considering removing the endangerment finding, they're also considering removing vehicle emission standards that were just passed in 2024 that would protect our health from tailpipe emissions, from cars and trucks, but also protect our wallets too. Because since about 1966, we've had pollution standards for vehicles in the US. And over the last two decades, our vehicles have become about 35% more efficient than they have been. So what that actually means is paying less at the pump, having to fill up less, saving money overall. So I just want to give that context for what that actually means for people in their lives, because there is an opportunity right now to go and comment before the EPA on August 19th and 20th. They're going to be holding virtual hearings on the endangerment finding and removing these vehicle emission standards. So anyone is able to go and testify. Everyone's impacted by climate change. Everyone's impacted by these rules staying or not. And so it's important to get out and share exactly how that would impact you health-wise, financially. Also understand summer's a busy time, and making an EPA hearing on a Tuesday might be difficult for people.
Fun!
In the middle of the day. Yeah. So there's also a written comment period that goes until September 15th. But of course, the sooner that people write up a comment, submit it, the better. If people want to do that and learn more information, they can go to our website, conservationvoters.org, sign up for our email updates, and we'll be sending out a toolkit very soon with example testimony that people can use and exactly how to submit their comments and sign up for testimony.
If you're just joining us, we're talking to Casey Hicks. He is the Federal Government's Affairs Manager for Wisconsin Conservation Voters. You're listening to Matt and Aaron Air on Civic Media. And Casey, I would love to be... I'd love to have the attitude of like, well, if they're going to do this, it must be for a good reason. But honestly, like, is it cynical just to say they're pulling back these protections because companies want to save money, companies want to do what they want, companies want to just live their lives, and whatever their actions are can harm us as much as they want, as long as their bottom line is still great for their shareholders? That to me is the bottom line. It's not about, quote, making America great again. It's about making the pockets bigger for the companies that want to cause the harm to our environment.
I think it's very clear that there is a larger strategy to this that benefits corporate polluters and billionaires at our expense, of course. So, yeah, I think you're exactly right on that when you bring that up. And so when I brought up earlier that this is the legal underpinning to a whole host of other rules and regulations mm-hmm. that protect our health, if the endangerment finding does go away, and by the way, we're not there yet. Yeah. We still have to go through this comment period. EPA still has to go through the rest of its rulemaking process to actually rescind this. So we could be several months to a year out before this actually happens. And then you better bet that there will probably be litigation and lawsuits that will happen to try to prevent it as well. But in any case, it is clear that there's a larger strategy from the Trump administration to take this underpinning, this foundation away, so that they can start to chip away at other rules and regulations that protect our health, that protect our wallets, like I said, but all of this to the benefit of wealthy corporate polluters and not everyday folks like us.
Casey Hicks is our guest here on Matt Nair on Air from the Wisconsin Conservation Voters, and we're talking about changes at the EPA. The Trump administration essentially wants to crush all the regulations and some of the core underpinnings of what the EPA, or one of the core underpinnings of what the, has given the EPA the tools to do some enforcement. That's what they want to get rid of. Casey, I'm curious, when you hear from people, and you must hear from people, that climate change is a hoax and it doesn't exist. And even though the vast majority of client scientists agree that the climate is changing and humans are causing it, what can people say? I have met family members who tell me, yeah, I talked to my buddy and he says it's no, climate change isn't real, so I believe him. What can people come back with when you have relatives who say that to you?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I'll be honest in saying that I'm not always sure how to approach that conversation myself with my own relatives if they don't believe in climate change. So I think that the science is obviously very clear that climate change is happening and it's affecting us right here and now. And there's multiple things that are literally happening to us at this moment that we can point to. The wildfire smoke that we've experiencing over the last week, the heat that we've been feeling very recently, and not just very recently, but for the last 10 years, every year has been the hottest year on record. Yep. And it's trumped the previous one.
Yep.
No pun intended. But so there is that fact to point to. That said, people may still want to believe what they want to believe when it comes to that. I think an economic argument is really strong for investing in clean energy, for making our cars more fuel efficient, and for that clean energy transition as a whole. Right now, the cheapest form of energy and the fastest form of energy to deploy is wind and solar and battery storage and geothermal. And we just recently had the budget reconciliation bill that went through that gutted tax credits yeah. for clean energy. And that's incredibly disappointing because we needed those tax credits to be able to invest in those technologies to meet the moment that we're in for climate change. And those are gone. But in any case, it's a good economic argument that investing in clean energy is cheaper, it brings jobs to our state, it brings jobs to our country, and it makes us globally competitive.
We're going to continue our conversation with Casey Hicks from Wisconsin Conservation Voters. If you have a question, text it in at 855-752-4842. And don't forget, text in the word via the Civic Media app, PITCH. PITCH. That is our word for free ticket Friday, 4-pack of Milwaukee Brewers club level tickets for next Wednesday's game. Text in the word PITCH, PITCH, and keep it right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Box, Sweet Cal B on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text or give us a call. Yes, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Our guest is Casey Hicks. He's the Federal Government Affairs Manager for Wisconsin Conservation Voters. And we were talking right before we went to the break about changes to the EPA and the potential gutting, essentially, of the EPA.
But in our chat during the breaks, you said that Wisconsin actually just was the recipient of a major loan program for safe drinking water. Do you want to talk about that really quick, Casey?
Yeah, I can touch on that. And just a full disclosure, I don't work on the state policy side of things, so I'm not going to be able to probably give too much of like a wonky explanation of things. But so the state budget just recently passed. Governor Evers signed it back in early July. And in the state budget this year was $732 million for the Safe Drinking Water Loan Program here in Wisconsin, which, of course, is very important for protecting drinking water. Wisconsin has a host of different drinking water issues across the state, from lead lateral service lines that are still in existence in various parts of the state, to nitrate contamination in rural parts of the state due to overspreading of fertilizer and manure, to PFAS, which are an emerging contaminant that have been popping up all throughout the state over the last several years and throughout the country. So that money is very important because it has been a long time coming to have some type of relief for people who can't safely drink tap water. So, yeah, will be a huge, huge impact on people in the state.
Well, we have some folks, I'm thinking of French Island, which is outside of La Crosse, which is near La Crosse. They've been drinking bottled water for years.
Yeah.
They've been drinking bottled water for years.
Yeah.
Because of this problem.
It's very good to see this coming through, and I hope it be of great use, because we have talked about in the past on various shows on the network regarding the drinking water problems here in the state. And earlier you were talking about if people want to get involved in the matter about the EPA, there are listening sessions. There are comment sessions coming up soon. Can you talk more about that again?
Yeah. So August 19th and 20th, there are going to be virtual hearings that EPA is hosting. They encourage people to sign up by August 12th. That is coming up next week, Tuesday, and people can navigate over to EPA's website to get the exact details on that. People can also go to our website, conservationvoters.org, and sign up for our emails, because we'll be sending out more info along with the toolkit on how to actually put together comments and submit them. So all those resources are available. Again, if people can't make an EPA hearing on a Tuesday afternoon because they've got important things like work to do, they can submit written comment as well. And we really encourage as many people as possible to do so, because it's part of our democratic process. EPA does look at all those comments. If they get 20,000, 30,000, 100,000 comments, their staff is looking at all of them. So it is really important that we get as many comments submitted as possible.
And we'll make sure that we have the website, the Wisconsin Conservation Voters website, on our show notes. So if you want to find out more about the group or about signing up for the event, you can go to civicmedia.us/shows, look for Matt and Air on Air, and then today's episode in the first hour will have all of that information as well, including anything else we talk about with regard to articles and groups we discuss. We have guests from. So, yeah, you can go to civicmedia.us/shows.
Another suggestion would be to contact your lawmaker. Mm-hmm. Just go to myvote.wi.gov. Go to myvote.wi.gov. All you have to do is type in your address, and every person who represents you, their name will come up along with all their contact information. I don't know, say, for example, you could call Tom Tiffany, who just recently weighed in Wisconsin and said, that lousy Canada, they're not raking their forests enough. That's why we're having wildfire smoke. Maybe you could ask Tom Tiffany, what's changed in the last couple of years that we never had wildfire smoke until up 3 years ago? So they were doing a really good job raking up until 3 years ago when all their rakes burned.
And
I'm just asking. I'm just asking. It's a question.
Welcome to Matt and Aaron here, Casey. One of the things though, Jane asked earlier and you spoke to is like, Casey, is how do you approach people or how do you discuss with people
those you say who, this, yeah, there is no climate change.
Or that it's not as bad as it seems. And I always, whenever someone says they don't believe in it, or in your example, my friend said, so I heard in a podcast, I said, my first thought is always to say, cool, can you provide me information on either the podcast or their qualifications, the articles they're citing, or the information they're relaying to you? Because I'd love, because I always see it as, if climate change isn't real, okay, go with me here. If climate change isn't real, I want to know. So give me the information. Unfortunately, whenever I ask for that information, it always kind of goes into like, hey, Packers are looking really good this season. So I'm like, all right, cool. So you, great. I appreciate your thoughts. And fine, you don't want to believe in it, but it's still, you don't have to believe in climate change. It's not a law to do that, but it still affects you every single day. And caring about your water, caring about your air, caring about the world you leave behind for your children and your friends' children is important. So, Casey, thank you so much for being here and telling us about what, not only about what's going on, but what we can do to make an impact in this process.
Casey Hicks is the Federal Government Affairs Manager for Wisconsin Conservation Voters. Thank you so much, Casey. Really appreciate your time. And as Greg said, we'll get all those links in our show notes as well. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
We got news coming up next. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt and Aaron on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Text in the word PITCH, P-I-T-C-H, for free ticket Fridays. Don't go away.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.